Please rise. Court is now in session.
Hey, good afternoon. The court's ready to hear argument in Smith versus State. We apologize for the delay. We extended one of the earlier arguments at the last minute, and it's been keeping us a little bit behind. Mr. Hurley, are you ready to proceed?
Good afternoon, all. With complete candor, I can say it is always a pleasure to be here. And with equal candor, I can say that it's usually not a pleasure when I see the orders that issue and opinions after I'm here. I'm not here often, as you would all know. It's probably been about 3 years. Now I get wandered down, and I ask who the panel's going to be, and I'm told we can't tell you, so things have changed a bit, but I guess I can find my way around. You may think at first blush the reason I'm not here is because I never lose cases. And although that's a logical assumption, the true reason is that there are few and far cases between that I find to have enough potential significance for the future that I want to become engaged. And this is one of them. I find myself in a situation sort of like the New York Times reporter who's being jailed for trying to protect the identity of someone who's suspected of betraying the national interest. I'm not here to champion child support or child pornography or parents who show their kids pornography. I'm here to try and have the court set out some parameters on what I will call what is fast becoming the computer exception to the staleness doctrine of probable cause. And it seems as if we're having a lot of these cases now, particularly since the police agencies have trained people to a high degree of sophistication with regard to computer analysis and the abundance of child pornography, so these cases are happening more and more and more. And it seems as if there is a home cottage kind of a concept that if you use the word computer, you forget the word staleness. And this is a case that I think exemplifies that. It's an important case for you to consider for future purposes.
Now, in this case, do we agree we're talking about 4 months?
No. We agree that we're talking about anywhere between 5 months and 17 months because the child had not been there since January, and she had seen it the year before in 2002 with not any specifics given. So on the face of the information that the officer had, it could have been 17 months before, it could have been 5 months before, it could have been anywhere in between.
And so in your brief, you were doing a calculation based on what was in the affidavit that referenced her birthday.
That's correct.
And that would have put her at about a year or so.
That's correct.
So for purposes of precedential value in trying to decide how we're going to look at this generally, we're talking, let's start at the one extreme, 5 months. And what cases would support the idea that 5 months is too long?
I don't know that any would. All I'm asking is that the court reiterate that it is a totality of circumstances and that the computer per se is not the be-all, end-all. It's one of the considerations. I'm going to back into what my bottom line is by an example, and now that I see the three of you, I was going to have to say, remember, when you were Superior Court judges, I don't have to content myself with that. Pretend that you were a Superior Court judge and that a police officer came before you, and under oath, and this would be the reconstituted affidavit, under oath he were to say to you, Judge, I have a situation here where a 13-year-old child reports that her father has displayed pictures of naked males and naked females who were adults, not children. Some of them were engaged in sexual activity, and I would like to get a search warrant to go in there. You as a judge would say, well, when did it happen? And the officer would say, in this case, if all the facts were known, well, anywhere between 5 years and, 5 months and almost a year and a half, 17 months ago. And you as a judge would say, well, can you be any more precise? And the officer would say, no, I really can't be. The judge, you would then say, well, how many times did it happen? Is it a continuing course of conduct? And the police officer would say, according to the affidavit, I don't know. It may have just been one time. So you as a judge would say, let me get this straight. It could have been a year, 14 months, 15, 16, 17 months. It could have been an isolated one-time event. And the officer would say, yeah, Your Honor, that's it. Well, what did he do? Well, he displayed it on the computer. Did he download it? I don't know, Judge. He may have just had the picture up there and it was fleeting and gone. There's no evidence they downloaded. I really don't know. I never asked that question. All I know is it was displayed. But I do know there were some videos. Well, how many videos were they? Were there? I don't know. What happened to the videos? I don't know. Were they valuable? I don't know. Can you tell me anything more about them? No, just she said there were videos as well. Did she tell you that the videos were shown at a different time than the display on the computer? No, she didn't mention it one way or the other. But Judge, I do know that he still has internet access and he still looks at people who are naked on the internet. And you as a judge would say, well, if it happened a year ago, what good is it going to do for you to get in there today to find out that yesterday he looked at pictures of naked people? Is that evidence of what happened a year ago? Judge, really, it really is not. No, I can't say that at all. That is what a judge who would be facing a reconstituted search warrant would have to face in terms of obstacles to saying there is a fair probability, a reasonable likelihood that today, May 16, 2003, I'm going to have a police officer find evidence of what was displayed to that child before.
Well, but I'm having difficulty understanding how the conversation ever occurs when the judge is looking at the affidavit. I mean, the judge isn't supposed to be having a conversation with the affiant. We talked about that in Gardner. You go within the four corners of the warrant and the affidavit.
I was simply using that as a symbolic, metaphorical conversation when really it's just the judge reading it and asking the questions aloud.
All right, well, let's change it to a different hypothetical where you have the same images that, in this case, were on a screen, but they were in a magazine or something like that. And the person says, I have this minor who came in and said her parent showed this magazine 5 months ago. I want to go to search. Is that stale based on current law?
That's just one circumstance. There has to be more. If it had a lot of magazines, this has been a pattern that's been going on over and over. If it was this simple, that fact, 5 months ago, this child was shown one magazine by her father, period, there's staleness problems. There has to be something more to show, to demonstrate. This guy keeps things a lot. He's a collector. If it's child pornography, a big difference. Pornography, unfortunately, people like to look at people having sexual acts, which is not illegal, apparently. People like to look at people without their clothes on. It's everywhere, I'm told. Child pornography, there's a whole different genre of, they go into these characteristics of how they hoard, they keep, because it's valuable stuff. So I think there's a big difference in just saying pornography versus child pornography, and this is a pornography matter, not a child pornography matter in its inception. I tried to consider what is reckless disregard, and the best I can come up with is a police officer who is aware of the importance of the information, who considers it, and for whatever his reason decides, I'm not going to use that. In this particular case, we had a highly educated police officer with a college education, 9 years of experience, 3 years, I believe, as a detective, has authored countless search warrants and was the person who was the lead investigator in child abuse cases. So he was the personification of experience. Furthermore, he indicated that in his coursework, he had had definitions of probable cause given to him, and he recognized the importance of the fact that time is of the essence. That's my characterization, not his, in determining probable cause. He was asked why he didn't include...
Let me interrupt you for a second, because you're now talking about the police officer's state of mind, right?
That's
or the investigating officer.
That's correct.
Okay. I want to get back to the staleness. And you started out by saying that there seems to be a computer exception to the staleness doctrine. And clearly from your comments, you're finding that objectionable. You don't think it's appropriate for there to be any kind of a computer exception. Why, when you think about the totality of the circumstances, I'm not a computer expert, but I know that I've got stuff on my computer that goes back as old as my computer is, just because that's the way, you know, every time I get an email, it gets put somewhere and it stays there or whatever. What's wrong with some recognition of the idea that there's a difference between having a single magazine, let's say, in your drawer that has nude pictures or whatever it has, and that, you know, arguably would get disposed of at some point just because it's lying there and may be embarrassing to have it, something that somebody else might discover, whereas on a computer, things tend to stay there for a much longer time.
There's nothing wrong with that, as long as that is just one of the facets of the totality of circumstances. I would venture to guess, and it's a guess, there could be cases in front of a Superior Court judge where child pornography is alleged, where if it was said in 1991, this person had child pornography and they had the same computer in the house, the judge would say, go and get that computer. 18 years later, whatever the math is, I'm bad on math, 14 years later, there has to be a line drawn of something other than saying computer, and we know that there are images of what was there. Otherwise, we have, that's just the computer exception. Staleness goes out the window. As long as it's a computer, as long as you can say images remain, then 25 years later, you can go and get a computer. There has to be something to show a continuation facet, a parameter of continuation that would make someone say, even though that's 17 years ago, there's updated information that makes that current. And there's not at this point.
Well, you would make the same argument even if there were no computer involved, if those same images were, say, photographs
that
were stored in a desk drawer.
That is correct. I see there is some difference because supposedly with a computer there are going to be fingerprints that are left there, and I'm talking figurative fingerprints that are left there, and you can recover them even if somebody's erased them, but there has to be a line drawn somewhere to say, this doesn't mean just because you say computer, forget staleness, it doesn't count. In this case, the trial judge basically said computer. She didn't identify downloaded. That's important.
Well, now in this case, I know you're talking about what the officer left out, but what's the time frame based on what he did put in the affidavit that we would find in what was written down?
There is no time frame because all he says is the girl left the house and while she was living with her parents, excuse me, there is, 2002, and the Star McGraw said about a year before.
Well, and that's the reason I asked that is because that was my recollection. It seemed that the real problem here was there was no time frame and that, you know, you talk about 1991 or maybe 2002, but perhaps in the guidance that we really need to provide is that in these affidavits, you have to have a time frame because at the end of the day, you're supposed to say what you're looking for and why you think it's going to be there.
I agree. And what happens here, the mischief that was created is paragraph 7 and paragraph 8 because that seems to make things current. Paragraph 7 goes to the present tense and says, Lisa reported her father's laptop computer is connected to the Internet and that he often uses the Internet to find and collect the images of the naked men and women. It's as if she was speaking as of May 16, 2003, when we know, judged it, we know at best she was in 2002 when she's giving that, purporting to be current information. In paragraph,
and she moved out 5 months before this?
At least. That was the word, at least. Right. It wasn't clear, but it was at least January. Could have been earlier. Nobody knows. And in paragraph 6, the police officer says that the defendant, quote, has used the same laptop computer for the past 3 years. He's dating that as of May 16th, so it seems to suggest to the judge ongoing activity, which brings together that 2002 activity with something that's going now and now fills in the gap. And that was distorted and misleading because the police officer didn't say she hasn't been there in 4 months and her viewings were sometime in 2002. So it's not just a academic problem. It is a real problem caused a distorted view that the issuer of the magic of the warrant would have. Assuming that you accept the proposition that the police officer was reckless, and by the way, he's a good man and he's somebody who would not intentionally deceive anybody, but it's in his head. He knows this stuff's important. He left it out. And the reason he gave, quote, it just wasn't included, close quote. That's his explanation, which is not really a very good explanation.
Well, is it your position that if it had been included, the warrant should have been denied?
That is correct. And I, as an exhibit, I put a redacted warrant, what it would say in there. And what it says in there is, and this is why it's stale. And this, I used that metaphor in the beginning, the bottom line, so now I'm giving you the analytical framework that allows me to give that hypothesis. Lisa said it was 5 to 17 months. Star said it was about a year when the viewing was observed. Again, I come back to the no downloading because that's so critical. If there's downloading, then the fingerprints can be there. If there's no downloading, it doesn't give us any evidentiary basis to go get a computer where he's simply looking at images flashing across. The word, quote, displayed, close quote, was used, not downloaded, so the judge could not have known one way or the other whether there was a reasonable probability that there would be a trace Again, I said it was adult pornography readily available. People don't hoard that in the way that they do child pornography, I assume. And there is no evidence of ongoing activity, and I think that's so critical in this case for probable cause analysis. If there was an indication that he frequently showed it to her, he often showed it to her, it happened on numerous occasions, any of those words to indicate this was not a shot in the dark 17 months ago, then bingo, they have their probable cause. The absence of those factors, those totality of circumstances factors, scuttles the ship, and there was no probable cause shown. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Mr. Brown.
Good afternoon. I would agree that this, I would disagree that we're working towards some kind of computer exception in this search warrant context. I think the test that stands now encompasses computers and the evolution of technology, the evolution of the police department's ability to withdraw and extract information, from computers. And in that sense, I think we have to remember that this time frame is just one of the totality of the circumstances. And I would assume, obviously without conceding, that whether it's 4 months or a year or 16 months or sometime in 2002, that warrant remains valid in the context of this case.
And let's assume that that would be okay, hypothetically, if the fine was put in there. And why shouldn't the affidavit say the person displayed this 4 months ago, or my father had the computer 4 months ago? Why should the sentence be written in a tense that looks like it's contemporaneous when it's 4 months ago? Because clearly, someone may issue the warrant anyway, knowing it was 4 months ago, but shouldn't they have the opportunity to make that impartial decision based on accurate information and not think that it's there today?
Respectfully, I think it is based on accurate information, and I think the officer did try to make that information accurate. And admittedly, under the microscope of later review in 2020 hindsight, obviously we would like the officer to have written a specific time frame. I mean, in line with how we would, you know, hopefully.
Well, when you say if the person has it on their computer, wouldn't I think that I'm talking about them having it on their computer today or tomorrow, yesterday?
Yes, if you said that, and again, the affidavit has to be read as a whole, and we are tending to parse its individual parts. And if you look at the entire affidavit, how ever inartfully drawn by a police officer, it does emphasize that this conduct happened in the past, that the minor child no longer lives at that house. There's reference to a year ago by Star McGraw. So I think there is, reading this as a whole, it's clear that this happened in the past. I don't think a reviewing magistrate thinks that, you know, in May 16, 2003, that this happened on that date.
Reading the affidavit in the light most favorable to the state's position, when did it happen?
I would agree, in 2002.
And so how many months prior to the request?
Prior to the request, that would be May 16, 2003, so at least 5 months, somewhere between 5 and 17.
All right, so let's tell us why that's not stale information, because that's what Mr. Hurley is arguing.
Understood. That is not stale in the context of computer search, because that information will be on the computer. In all likelihood, there is a fair probability, which is the magic phrase in the context of the affidavit, that the images would still remain on the computer. And if you look later in the affidavit,
What about this distinction Mr. Hurley is making between displaying and downloading?
Obviously that could be made more clear, but I think we have this defendant tied to this computer reviewing images on the internet, and the word storage, and when the officer puts in the technical requirements, that they're talking about hidden, erased, protected, encrypted files. I mean, it's clear that we're talking about things that are on the computer and not things that were just sort of viewed on the internet briefly and moved on from. And I would also not yield on the technical requirement that some specific download button has to be pushed. If you look at an internet page, that internet page is going to be logged on your computer, and it's going to come with other information, when, what, time, things like that. Now, there's a chance it might not be on there. There's a chance that things can be overwritten, but the question here is whether there's a fair probability that that information will remain on the computer, and there is definitely, in the context of computer internet research, a fair probability that some marker will remain in that computer. I could digress momentarily. One thing I latched on to last year was one of the seminars I had gone to, which is...
Well, in this case, you should probably just stay with what's in the record.
Okay, I understand that, but one of the exercises is to open up a computer and run the NCASE software on it and review it, and it is startling what remains on the computer.
And you're telling us, based on your personal experiences, is this in the record in this case?
It's not necessarily in my personal experience. The record in this case, I would refer to the officer's description of the technical requirements of the search. And that's what he's saying. Evidence that's been deleted or erased is still going to be on that computer. So in that context, it brings us back to the fair probability. I'm not just...
Okay, so what is the time limit on a computer search? Because... you know, if you agree that it's still a totality of the circumstances test,
yes. Theoretically, I could understand why that would trouble the court, because there is none on a computer. And the time, and I'm not saying that lightly or glibly, the time frame here is also that this defendant, in this case, in these circumstances, had the same computer for the last 3 years. This defendant is tied to this computer. Now, this is one part of the analysis of an affidavit.
Let's just read that to come back. And people do get new computers.
Yes.
And so what you're saying is that if it will just stay with the 5 months here, that if you went in and the person said, I don't have the computer, it's gone, you say, well, sorry that we bothered you?
That could well be the case in a different circumstance, but that's not this case. And again, a fair probability to find it on that computer that that person has used, and it was his personal computer, he used it, he guarded it, that was his laptop. I mean, these are the phrases.
And your answer to Justice Berger's question is that whenever you come in and you say something was on a computer, time is irrelevant.
No, that is not my answer to Justice Berger's question. My answer to Justice Berger's question is, theoretically, that can be a limitless time frame, but not in the context of this case. This affidavit is only dealing with this issue under the totality of circumstances in this case. There are other protections. If you step outside of the statute of limitations,
okay, well,
then
wait
you
a
clearly
second.
Don't have evidence
right.
of a crime anymore.
Let's forget about the extremes, because
yes.
Those are much easier to deal with. What we've got here, using the facts of this case and this case alone, is an admission by the state that the evidence that was being that you were looking for was at least 5 months old and perhaps as much as 17 months old, right? I thought that was agreed.
I would agree that is the record in this case, yes.
Okay, good. All right.
The word admission was causing me to step back.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to do anything fancy here. I'm just trying
there was a specific factual finding that he did not recklessly omit
right.
that information.
Right.
But yes,
okay.
I would say that is our record.
Okay, so we've got evidence that may be as much as it's at least 5 months old and maybe as much as 17 months old. It's evidence that's in a computer, or that at one point was in a computer, and the reason we're saying it's reasonably likely that it would still be there is because it's a computer and it's his personal computer and he kept held on to it or whatever. We don't even know.
If I can interrupt, actually, I believe the images at issue were recovered from a CD.
Okay.
But
you were asking to search a computer, right?
And again, if you read the technical,
okay.
It does say all storage devices
sure.
and attending hardware and.
Okay. Forgetting the way it worked out in this case, where you found it on a CD, if you're asking for permission to search, and you don't even, it's somewhere between 5 months and 17 months old, this information.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, you don't even have knowledge as to whether this same computer that it was seen on still exists, right? So as much as the argument can be made, I guess to me the flip side of the argument that says, well, people save stuff on computers, so you know it's much more likely that something would still be there. The flip side of that is, but people also replace their computers,
yeah.
And it's been 5 months since anybody even knew that he had this same computer, so you've got that weighing significantly, I would think, against this evidence still being in existence, doesn't it?
I don't think so in general, and I don't think so in the context of this case, because I think it can be fairly common knowledge that people, the average homeowner is not replacing the computer every few months. And in the context of this case, the officer reports that the minor child said that he had used the same computer for 3 years. And that begs the question that the state cannot know that. An investigating officer cannot know that if somebody hasn't been in a house, whether he's replaced that computer. And again, you're back to the fair probability language of somebody who's used a computer for 3 years would probably still have that. I mean, we're in the probability context, not the reasonable doubt context at the moment of the search warrant.
All right.
So that's why this is still, to my mind at least, still encompassed by the totality of the circumstances test, which brings us back to this case, where this child reported that her father showed her images of pornographic images on that computer that he used, that he's owned for 3 years. And in that case, the warrant passes muster. If you have no further questions, I'll
thank you
the brief.
The only comment I would make is in response to Mr. Brown's remark, as I understood it, in response to Justice Holland's question about what would the issuing judge have in mind with regard to when the display took place, and I'm recharacterizing the question. And I thought Mr. Brown said 5 to 17 months, and that's not accurate. What the issuing judge had was that Lisa had lived at that residence for 12 years, and that while she lived at that residence, she saw the image that she said she saw. So we have a long 12 years, theoretically, and at the short, it could have been the day before she came in and talked to the police, because we don't know when she departed the residence. So it's anybody's guess. It's just a total guessing situation with the way this is constructed, because the police officer did not put the proper information in which would have given the context.
Thank you. Thank you both. The court will take this matter under advisement and adjourn.
Please rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All manner of persons having anything before the Supreme Court of the State of Delaware may now depart and give their attendance to the call of the court. The court is now adjourned. God save the state and the honorable court.